When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, it was a joy, as always, to be joined by Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer, the two fine comedians, whose Gone Fishing show returns to BBC Two this Sunday for a 4th series, Charlie. They got you back into fishing, didn't they?
They're two comedy heroes of mine. I grew up watching, quoting, driving people mad, doing impressions of.
Yeah.
I didn't do any of those to their face.
No, it was good of you. You didn't do any of
that. Yes, fishing, their show's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Perfect Sunday telly.
We had a birthday spread for you as well. We'll be honest, we record this little bit so we can get the podcast to you quicker.
Yes.
Half time in the spread, so it's delicately poised at the moment. I'm slightly ahead. There's a stewards going on around Joanne.
Find those 3 points.
Anyway, you'll find out what happened, and we had a bit of a chat. We got you involved, and here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Afternoon, Paul. I thought that was very disrespectful of Southampton to beat Newport 8-0 last night.
Really?
I know that they've got to want to get some goals in the bag, you know, but you can't go to Newport and just thrash them. Surely you've got to give them a bit of a chance. I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame. At 4-0, they could have gone, all right, lads, take your foot off the gas.
You think so? Yeah. That's the way to do. You think Arsenal should have gone easier than West Brom?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, you've got to show... I suppose they've got an early season and they've got to score some goals, get some confidence. But
if Torquay were taking on some pub team in the first round of the FA Cup, you wouldn't be feeling like that. You'd want to see them put to the sword,
as
don't
many
you?
As possible. We want 10.
Have you ever been embarrassed for the opposition when you've watched a game? Have you ever felt sorry
been
for
embarrassed for us? Tell you that.
What's the most crushing defeat you've watched
9-1,
your team?
9-1. What night? It was 9-1 or 9-0 v Scunthorpe.
Yeah.
In like the 8-1.
The Oracle says.
And that was the end of Don O'Riordan, our manager at the time.
Remember Don?
Yeah,
I saw Don score for Notts County.
Yeah.
Against Tottenham in the cup.
You know, nice guy. It was a fine manager, but then when we lost 8-1, that was it.
There's no way back, is it? Well, see, you might have said that about Ralph Hasenhüttl. 9. And he came back, he bounced back. He's still 2 9s, he's still there.
I bet Southampton were desperate to get the 9th last night. That's the 9-0 for the season.
Just to lay that ghost, yeah. I watched my lot lose by, obviously, quite recently to Bayern Munich by 7. Mm. And that was the most I've ever seen us lose. I think it's the most we've ever lost, isn't it, really, in a meaningful game recently. So that was quite sobering.
When it's happening, you can't believe it, can you? When it's happening to you. When it goes to 4,
especially
you
when an ex-Gooner scored most of the goals, that really is kicking you while you're down.
It's but, really awful.
Yeah, it's not. It's
7,
not
eight,
nice.
7 and 8. It's like, oh god, 8.
Yeah. It wasn't the worst though. It was quite because you know Bayern Munich were a fantastic side. There was something about it that didn't feel quite as bad to being tonked by Chelsea at Wembley. Yeah. You know, they put 5 past us, and it's like, oh, yes, that was not nice. That was one of the low points I felt.
Yeah.
See another cup run go. Anyway, we've all suffered them. We're interested here about lying today because there was a survey recently, and they looked at some of the top 20 fibs. No, it's not that one.
That wasn't in there, funnily enough. Never made the papers. Number one, surprisingly, was... I shall give you them all.
Yeah, go on, Paul.
These are things people lie about. Okay. They lie. They make their own bread. They make their own bread. They make their own bread. So you say, well, this bread's nice. Oh, yes, I make it myself. You know, you can see him rustling of a Tesco bag.
People buy a bread maker, don't they? And then they'll do it for about a month max, and then it's one of those things that goes in that
little cupboard under there
with the sort of Nutribullet,
yeah,
and the old waffle maker.
Yeah. Well, number two is I can eat anything without gaining weight. That's a lie that people, but that's one you can really be caught out on,
yeah,
can't it? When
you
have to have a gusset fitted in your trousers and an MRI at the zoo.
Yeah, I've often said that when I'm having my second dinner, you know.
Yeah, so during your second dinner, gravy running down your chin. Look at me, I can eat what I like. Number three, I go to the gym every day.
Oh, well, some people do, don't they?
Some people. I mean, I know they do, but most people don't.
If they work there.
Number four, my kids are super smart. I mean...
Is that a big lie, is it?
No, I don't know.
I think what it often is your kids are cleverer than you.
No work on face. You've had no work done on your face. No, so you'll see somebody saying, you're looking well.
Yeah. And you see that with that. God, that
friend. I know, I've had no work done on my face. Get in the got.
That friend's reunion, that was like a advert for Botox.
A lot of filler has been done there.
A lot of filler, like this show.
I have at least four holidays a year. These lies are just things people say. I write poetry. Well, that's an easy way to catch something there.
You shouldn't.
I only eat organic food. I've written a book. Some people say I've written a book. Yeah, again, us a copy of it. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's the famous one. I've written a book, neither am I.
I've been an extra in a blockbuster film. Some people claim that. Look at me. That's me. That's me at the back there, Gladiator.
A lot of people are extras, aren't they? You know, 80 quid a day.
I've read the complete works of Shakespeare. No, you haven't. Even Shakespeare hadn't read all of those.
No one's read Pericles.
I wouldn't think so. No. All the sonnets. make your own sushi. Well, who cares? And one thing to lie about. Who cared? If somebody you've met, somebody said, he's an all right bloke, but there's something. He says he makes his own sushi. I want to punch him in the face every time I see him. Only watch movies with subtitles. Well, that's rubbish. Dated a celeb. Some people claim we dated a celeb and make that up. Won the lottery. Didn't get easily caught out with that, especially in the Lamborghini showroom.
Might want a tenner or something, you know.
I've run a marathon. See, that's one. People say they've run a marathon. Yeah. And again, we'll show us your medals. It's that, isn't it?
Medals really? On the table,
so you get caught out in a lot of these. But the reason we bring these up is that, well, I suppose you could argue running a marathon is a sporting one. But a lot of people say, I could have made the Olympics, but I got injured. That's one they use.
Yeah, yeah, got injured.
And the other one is, I could have been a professional footballer.
Yeah, everyone had trials, didn't they, Paul? Everyone had trials.
So if you've got tales of that, catching someone out in a spectacular fib, especially on the sporting front, I mean, often it could be as simple as, oh, yeah, I'll get so-and-so come down and play for us next Sunday because he told me I had trials at Palace and he runs out there and he clearly he had trials for nobody.
The other one I like is when people go, oh, he was in the same team at school as Wayne Rooney and he was the better player.
Yeah, that's the one.
And he was the better
player. That was the one they said was going to go. They said Rooney was rubbish compared to him. My teachers said, you're going to be big, Wayne's going to fall by the wayside.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, that music, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Is from.
Instantly relaxes me, Paul.
It does, yeah, yeah. Just Sunday night.
I'm back. I'm there.
That's right. Gone Fishing returns this weekend with Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse. The producer is currently walking around the studio with a laptop trying to find a spot to put it on so we can see Bob, who's coming to us live via satellite, apparently, as they used to say. Paul Whitehouse with us in the studio. Lovely to see you, Paul.
Well, very nice to be here. Thanks very much. I see Bob's wearing the same clothes he always wears.
He's in a very... Oh, here he is. Yeah. Now, is that going to stay on the arm of that chair, John? He's gone small again, Bob. He was there, he was big.
Yeah, now he's standing old.
He was big and bold, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Now he's a little window in the corner.
Hey, never mind, you all look gorgeous.
Oh, I can see. There he is. You get big when you speak. That's lovely, he's big. So, fellas, we'll kick off with you, Paul, as you're with us in flesh. Series 4, who'd have thought it? I mean, you guys probably thought, you know, one, that'll be a lot of fun, but here we are.
We weren't even convinced we were going to get one. I mean, we did, it was just something that came to us on the riverbank one day. You know, it came out of real life, as I'm sure I've told you before.
Yeah.
So, which I think gives the show a sort of nice flavour, and I think that's probably why it's run for 4 series, because it's not a contrived show, you know. And so, yeah, but I mean, don't tell me that this is the full series, because it just seems like a little dream. You know, I meet up with Daft Bob, you know, he falls over, we catch a couple of fish, and then another day happens.
Yeah. Bob doesn't seem to get any better at fishing during
it's
the whole thing.
Harsh,
the only thing. I mean, he seems to really love it, and it's all about passion. But then there doesn't seem to be any improvement going on. Bob? Are you getting better at it?
Well, I've got what you might be called an older mind, you know. It's not really going to learn anything much new. But I always say to Paul, you know, I am a good fisherman, because at the end of the day, I've usually enjoyed myself more than anyone else.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key to it, really.
Yeah. We talked before, guys, about where you sort of take it on, but you don't really need to take it on, do you? I mean, you know, you're not going marlin fishing now. You're not in Florida. I see you're in the Outer Hebrides for
that's
the first
as far show. As we can go, you know, because of passport restrictions on Bob. Bob's not allowed to travel. No, we sort of we meander, don't we, Bob? Anyway, go on, yeah.
I was just saying, I remember following football abroad with England. Before things got restricted, and you did used to see some very colourful characters abroad with the England fans, which you don't see now so much. I suppose it shows the restrictions are working, but miss them. But I remember the one man army. He was a Nottingham.
Oh yeah, you've mentioned him. Yeah.
In what sense was he a one man army? Boy?
Well, it was one of him.
And
he was an army.
Well, that's
sounds like one of your lines.
Quite literal, it does. Quite literal. Yeah, yeah. So Outer Hebrides kicks you off. Where else are we going to see you fishing then in this series, Paul?
Well, like you say, we don't stray very far, Paul. We have thought, obviously, should we broaden the horizons and go to more glamorous locations? But actually, what has been lovely in a way about lockdown is I think it's focused people, hasn't it, on what's on our doorstep.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we go to Lincolnshire. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
We go to a place called Wales. Yeah, you know, so nice. we keep it British, really, Bob, don't we?
Yeah. Once again, Paul, we just go to such glorious places, which are kind of a joy to have in your living room, really. You don't have to listen to what we're saying to. It's kind of optional. But, yeah, no, the UK looks absolutely beautiful once again in the show. Especially, if I might say, Paul, this first one, it is quite beautiful.
I've seen the trailer. It does look lovely.
It's an amazing landscape.
It's like the moon, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like the
extraordinary.
Moon, but with water. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't tell whether it's a flat, an estuary, a sea loch, a loch, a river. Yeah. It's incredible, yeah.
I think the programme as well for me is it's not about fishing. It's about love, really, and friendship, and you're not scared of talking about anything. You never take a step backwards from any issue, any point at all, and everything seems to be up for grabs in the conversation. And I think that's why there's an outpouring of love for the show as well. It's because you two are loved, you love each other, and that comes out through the screen.
It's all about the love, isn't it, Bob? Because it is, though. And I mean, we've never sort of regarded ourselves as sort of very open, you know, and touchy-feely types. Yeah. But again, there is has been a movement, hasn't there, over the past few years about, you know, mental health and men's health especially as being something that's, if not taboo, it's sort of swept away. So I think we've had to experience quite severe medical procedures, especially Bob, and you know that's what's given the show a validity, really, because otherwise it would just be too. In case you hadn't noticed, it might be just two old blokes going fishing.
Have you found it therapeutic, Bob? You feel as you kind of recovered from your heart surgery?
Yeah, I mean, it's been very interesting because, of course, for 30-odd years, me and Paul have had, like, this requirement to be funny when we're on, not saying we ever were, but to try and be funny. And it's been quite liberating and quite challenging to not, you know, not have that obligation. And, of course, once you start chatting, because it's very much just fly on the wall, you do start chatting about slightly deeper things. And I was very nervous about it the first few series. I didn't like seeing myself on the telly, you know, not trying to be funny. But it feels like a new stage of our careers and stuff. So it's been therapeutic. It's been very, I don't know, it's been a kick up the backside, you know, and motivated to explore different, you know, different parts of TV, really.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, the way it's fallen as well in the pandemic, I know it's a lot of people have taken up fishing during the lockdown, including myself.
You've come back to
and
it,
and I tell you what, it has got me. And
has it really?
Your show inspired me to go fishing, buy a rod and go fishing.
Right.
And the peace and solitude I find in my head and the mindfulness you find in your head, it's not about catching the fish, is it? No. I mean, it's great when you catch a fish. It's like scoring a goal or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't believe you've actually got
one. You can still play
one.
A valid part in a team without scoring a goal.
That's very true.
You know, but what it's that restful feeling of my mind has really got me through the pandemic, really. Oh, I'm going to show you there.
He's trying to get some pictures of his fish.
There's a little roach I caught there.
That's not a bad. That's a goa, as we call it.
That's a shame.
Right. And, am I allowed to say that? A goa roach?
And I caught a pike last summer as well, which I was very excited about.
Wow. So,
I'm not very good at it. I'm not very good at it, but I don't mind.
Well, you caught roach, perch and pike. Do you know what I mean? That's almost more than Bob's caught in his illustrious career.
It's nice you've been so happy catching a little roach, because a lot of the fishing shows that you see on TV are all about catching monster carp
monster shark
and so on. And we're quite pleased that we've taken it back to reality, to what the reality of fishing, which is just enjoying the environment. And yeah, you might just catch a tiddler, but they're all very pretty and they're all worth catching and returning.
It might be fun to watch you going on one of this. Those fish, or those huge fish, where you basically catch them by hand. You know, you stick your arm in the nest where they are, and then they kind of grab on your arm. You hoik them out. That's you catch them with your arm. Haven't you seen it's on
That's
that Jeremy Wade show? Where it's bonkers, absolutely bonkers way to
stick
catch
your
fish.
Arm into a great white shark's mouth and just pull it out.
Yeah, it's like
my dad.
Popeye.
My dad used to go as a kid with a mackerel fisherman in Devon, and he'd take a bucket. They'd just take a bucket, put the bucket in the sea when there's a shoal, and they'd pull out a bucket of mackerel.
Not much of a series. Not much thrill of the outcome, is there?
bucket fishing. Is that our future?
Bucket fishing.
It's a good title. Yeah. Bucket of fish. Careful how you say that.
I'm not saying that on radio. We'd love to see you doing the old magnet fishing as well. People go with the idea. Have you heard about the magnet fishing?
No,
people end up getting grenades and old World War II and prams. There was a lot of prams.
It's part detectorism.
Of that, but it's a big powerful magnet that just stick in the water, and it's just like a series 5, just chucking a few ideas in. Treasure, that's it. Anyway, Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer are with us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Whitehouse, Bob Mortimer with us in, Bob's down the line, Paul with us in the studio, and that's because Gone Fishing returns on Sunday on BBC Two at 8 o'clock. And Bob, is that all right in thinking it's an hour from now on? Is that right?
No, it's just 30 minutes as usual.
Oh, I wouldn't inflict an hour on.
No, because you did the longer Christmas special, and I thought I saw it that it was an hour, this first one, but clearly not. No, it's still, so he's not.
It just feels like an hour.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could take it after. I thought the Christmas special, I didn't feel that was padding. I thought I enjoyed
People
it.
People never want it to end. It just feels like you wanted to watch, because it's so relaxing.
Yeah.
You want it to go on and on and on, you know. But
well, we did have Christmas, though.
We
had that extra element to it, but I think, you know, in a way, we're as conscious as people are watching it that we should shut up a lot of the time and just let the river and the scenery speak for itself.
So yeah.
Sometimes in the edit, Bob and I are trying to find bits where we're not talking and disrupting the scene and annoying people.
Yeah.
Please, some silence, you know.
Are you getting nodded at on the riverbank at all when you're out there just on your own fishing, Bob?
Yeah. People come up and say...
you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's funny with a lot of anglers, they'd love to pretend that they don't know how to fish, which is the oddest thing. So they never give me advice, but the angling community is very helpful. The shops are always very helpful.
Yeah.
They've taken me on board as an idiot. So they keep it very basic.
Yeah.
Probably see you as no threat, Bob. Do you know what I mean?
You've probably sold 10 times the rods they normally sell, so they should be
piling
on gifts.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, yeah. I think they've said that. I mean, Nigel, by the way, has talked about it on Fisherman's Blues. You know, a lot of the big fishing shops have seen an upturn and they're putting it down at the show, so you should be
bring out your own rod, your signature rod.
Yeah, well, like Chris Borman did with bikes.
Bob's lawyers are onto it, aren't they?
W&M rods, that would be fantastic. Do your own maggots.
Your own maggots, 50p a pint.
Yeah. So, Bob, do you go on your own now? I know once we spoke to you about the show and I thought you guys were filming, but you'd just gone fishing just for a day out, nothing to do with the show. So do you go fishing on your own or do you generally go...
Yeah, I go fishing with my son. I'm off to the River Wye on Sunday, try and get myself a chub.
Right.
And Paul and I go fishing whenever we can. I go almost weekly with my son just to a local lake, just carp fishing. Yeah. Trying to get a little bit better, trying to improve, you know.
And is this six shows this series?
Six shows, yeah. The second show we go to a place called Burley House in Lincolnshire, which is like a beautiful stately home. It's one of the few times that we've been allowed access to a lake that's not fished very much. It used to be. So, I mean, we have a cracking day there because there's not much angling pressure on it and we need all the help we can get. But most of the places we go are very available. You know, anyone can go and fish there. So, it's been a joy to do. It really has. And people who have had heart issues or people in their family have had heart issues, so, you know, kind of respond to us, as Bob was saying, in a very different way than when we've done comedy shows. So we've had to learn to become better people.
Yeah.
Does it show?
Yeah, it certainly does.
Bob, had a listener ask us to ask you about your trial for Middlesbrough, when you trialled for Borough.
Wow. Kept that quiet.
Yeah, I was in Middlesbrough Boys, which was the club's boys team, till I was 15 and a half, but I didn't get signed on. In fact, they signed on three of my team and only one of them ever made anything of himself. A lad called Buster, can't think of the second name.
Blood Vessel.
He eventually signed up for Leeds and he got on their bench once, but that was it. There's so many good football. Yeah. In my team, there was Bill Athey was in my Middlesbrough boys team with me. And his dad wouldn't let him become a footballer. He wanted him to become a cricketer.
Oh.
So he ended up playing cricket for England. And, to be honest with you, I'm sure he'd have played football for England, to be honest with you. He was superb.
We're saying, and Neil Warnock, he's been quite angry recently. I mean, isn't he?
Yeah.
But we do love his bum bag full of photographs that he carries around now. Should he meet any autograph hunters? It's a joy that underneath, when he just lifted up his shirt, you've seen the video, I'm sure, Bob. And he just opens the zip, bum bag picture. There you go. I think everybody should carry one around as celebrities. That would be nice.
Yeah, but you know what would be nicer is if they had potatoes in.
I was going to say, bum bag meats, Bob.
Sausages. Yes. Now, I'll come back to Bob in a minute, but Paul, Only Fools and Horses returns the musical after everything that's gone on October the 1st.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. Yeah, we start rehearsing on the 6th of September. And, you know, it's been 18 months that we... So
it's same cast, is it?
All the cast are coming back, And we're all very excited because it is a privilege to get on stage every night and do those characters, you know.
Yeah.
It really is a joy, you know. But You know, it's been a difficult time, so, you know, people are, I know people will be reluctant to go to the theatre, but, you know, obviously we, you know, we hope people come roaring back, because it's a great night out, even though I say so myself, and I can do that because it's John Sullivan's work, really, you know, we're just channeling it, you know. But so, it's a joy, yeah, we start back in October the 1st.
Brilliant. Okay, well, people should go along. And Bob, your autobiography is coming out in next month, isn't it?
Yeah, in a few weeks. So there's that. I don't know what to say about it.
Is it true?
Yeah.
Well, there is a couple of chapters in it where I do it. I sort of make it a little bit, would I lie to you, and put some stories in, and you've got to decide which are true and which are not true.
Oh, fantastic.
And it, you know, it covers my love of the football club as well and how important that's been to me. You know, I wrote it myself, so
it's not ghosted.
It's not a literary book, you know. Yeah. It's just all the sorts of yarns.
Is it a picture book then, Bob?
Pop up.
Yes. There are pictures in it, pictures of me looking cute, you know, when I was young. Yeah. And that kind of stuff, what people do.
It's very funny, Bob. I've read a draft of it, and he's got a unique comic style.
Yeah,
how am I doing, Bob?
Put that on the cover. Is it still time to put that on the cover? Fantastic. Well, look, sadly, sadly, it's the England manager, Gareth Southgate. We're going to be hearing from very shortly, so we've run out of time. And he was the Borough manager, so Bob won't mind. But so Sunday, 8 o'clock for the next 6 weeks. That's the place to be for Gone Fishing on BBC Two. It's lovely to see you both, as always.
Thank you so much.
We look forward to it. Take care, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Cheerio.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We were asking you earlier on, because they printed out the sort of top 20 fibs, and no, that one wasn't in there. But one of them was, oh, I could have been a pro footballer.
Yeah,
and you were under defending you've ever caught anybody out in one of those. James in Essex says, I played a five-a-side footy with a guy who went to school with Connor Wickham. He told me he was a better player than Connor during their school days.
Yeah.
First touch, he said, I thought, well, you might be onto something. After that, it was all downhill. Clearly just a big fat lie.
Yeah, I love that one.
I love this one. Knox Ball.
I was a better player.
they all said I was better than him. I once worked with a bloke who reckoned he had every single Queen and recorded. One of the lads asked him, he said, well, have you got any bootlegs? And he said, well, yeah, I've got that one as well.
Caught out.
Tony, thank you, Tony. There's no way back from that one, is there?
There's a lad in it who went to our pub. This is Pete Kenny in Sheffield. A lad who went in our pub who convinced us all he was a sporting legend. He'd fetch darts, trophies, table tennis, pool, snooker, medals and trophies. What a guy. One day, one of the lads brought his new girlfriend in. She welcomed our sporting friend like a long-lost relative. You know him, asked her bloke. Oh, yeah, I work in the trophy shop where he buys all the trophies.
That's good.
Buying your own trophies is a bit sad, isn't it?
I thought we might have turned over a local cobbler's or something. But yeah, that's great, isn't it?
Love going a trophy there. Shop. Do you pull old school darts ones? Always good, isn't it? The old holding the darts.
We did an outside broadcast once. And years and years ago, it was, you know, it was one of the great TalkSport Parallel Universe broadcasts where the Cheeky Girls came. I've got absolutely no idea why they were there, but somewhere in the vaults, I've got a picture of me and Andy and Quinny and the Cheeky Girls. Yeah. I was trying to explain that away. So
why were they there?
They were there to fundamentally talk us through Catenaccio as an approach. No, they weren't. I don't know why they were there. They were there just
explaining the high press,
promoting stuff. But the reason I bring this up is this bloke who's at some. It was funny. It was a kind of closed do, a closed outside broadcast. But in the morning, Alan was on breakfast, and no one had told him. He said, "Old Pinky and Perky," he said, "they're coming live from St Catherine's Dot," and he gave the venue. He says, "Go along. Go on, they'd love to see you. Go along." He didn't do out of devilment, he just didn't know. So a gaggle of listeners came along, uninvited. They were fine, we don't mind that. It's always nice to me. But there was one guy there, and I could sort of see him sitting there with this big trophy. And I thought, is he going to... And he looked quite angry. And he was sitting there with this massive metal... And I thought, you know, this could be trouble. Then suddenly he got up and started coming towards us. And I'm preparing myself. I'm thinking, is he going to sort of brain one of us? He's a Sunderland fan. He's after Quinny. And he suddenly stood in front of the table during this ad break and said, why don't you do more table tennis on your show? And he thrust this trophy at us. And when we could see it, said runner-up Butlin's ping pong competition.
Oh wow!
1978.
He'd held a grudge.
Yeah. Well, he was. He clearly felt he was some player in the world of table tennis. Brought the trophy to prove it.
Table tennis,
offering himself up as an expert in the Paralympics.
Paul, have you watched the table tennis in the Paralympics?
Yeah, it's amazing.
There's sitting down table tennis and there's standing up. Have you seen the guy? He's about 42.
Yeah.
And he lost both his arms when he was seven.
Yeah.
And he plays with a bat in his mouth.
Yeah, I know.
And it's unbelievable. And you watch something like that, and the story outweighs how good the game is.
No,
but then
I know.
The game is always so good. He's getting all this spin on it. You'll think, oh, I'd love a game against him.
No.
Just to see how good he is. I bet he's brilliant.
No, you could see that. He was fantastic. I mean, I was telling you yesterday, so much of the Paralympics is like that. I was watching the backstroke finals yesterday. It's a Brazilian backstroke swimmer. He's not the only one. No arms. It's basically all core strength. He does it all with core strength. And he was in the lead for most of the race, just got caught at the line. But you think that's just amazing how anybody could do that.
It makes you feel incredible. It makes you feel really lazy.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you've done absolutely nothing with your life. Like, I really should have tried at least a bit, you know.
Yeah. There it's a triumph of the human spirit, and it's brilliant. I've been enjoying it. Been, you know, catching up with it in the mornings. It's absolutely fantastic.
Brian from York's been on. I've moved to Lincolnshire from Devon, age 15. Has asked what I thought of Northern Soul, and I was laughed at hysterically when I said I'd never heard of them.
Did he go to the Northern Soul nights after that?
Who knows? Lovely. The old dance in there. And
beautiful.
Do I love you?
Northern Soul. Yeah.
Wigan Pier.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, an old mate of my missus moved up to Cleethorpes, and she became a bit of a queen of Northern Soul, was a regular of all the venues, something of an expert.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Those look good, don't they?
It's marvellous.
Great,
it's
music.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We've got the birthday spread now.
Fabulous.
10 birthdays. Andy Jacobs has got a gilt edge gag for each one. And their birthdays of the week. And myself and Charlie have to guess how old these people are. Jeff Peters will keep score throughout and add the occasional bit of audio magic and sometimes his own gags, much to Andy's annoyance.
Well.
And we played this for many months with Max Rushton. I believe the score finished, was it 24-4, something like that,
something
or 23-4.
Like that,
But Charlie, I've played twice with you and it's 1-1.
It's 1-1.
You've proved yourself to be a worthy opponent.
Only once. I nearly won the last one, didn't I? Messed it up on
you
the last.
Andy, how are you feeling about the cricket?
Oh, I'm enjoying the cricket.
Sure you are.
I just want to ask Moose a question, though. Who have West Ham got in the Champions League draw? Oh, no, they're not in it. Sorry.
that's the nerve centre. Maybe we should cross
there.
There's a robot laughing. Let's cross to the nerve centre. Jeff Peters is there in the East Midlands.
I was a little bit premature on that.
You were.
It was 23-5.
23-5,
Paul, you've only won one of the last four, so a little bit of pressure on you.
But
Charlie making his loan spell permanent after that successful 1-1 in the previous round. So big shoots to fill after Max has gone on a free transfer to Radio Melbourne.
Down at the pea farm.
Andy, can you just categorically say England are not going to lose this test match?
Well,
when those two wickets fell relatively sort of close together earlier on, were you saying 200 all out? I was predicting that.
No, definitely not.
Okay, fair enough.
It's looking good. They're playing really well.
They
are. Surprising, isn't it?
Very well. It is.
It's surprising when you pick people with a technique. It's amazing, isn't it?
Anyway, let's have a bit of Pelé, shall we? First birthday, then I'll kick us off.
Okay, and the first birthday this week, a very happy birthday to the actress Joanne Whalley. Joanne Whalley. And the last time I saw Joanne, she was at the premiere of the Steve McLaren story. She was with the former Chelsea and Grimsby player Mike Brolly.
Okay, yes, Whalley with it. Brolly.
I don't know who that is.
I'd say
Steve McLaren story.
Yeah, the Steve, what film that was? Yeah. Who played that? Who played Steve McLaren? Still time to tell us. We'll take suggestions. Who's playing Steve McLaren in the film The Steve McLaren Story? TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J, the best of
somebody Dutch.
It could be, couldn't
exactly,
it?
Yeah.
The bloke played Van der
Vaart. Joanne Whalley.
I know, I'll kick us off, don't worry. I can kick us off. I'll give you a marker. Potentially, or maybe not. Maybe I'll give you a curveball.
Joanne Whalley, fine actress. She's got to be about 56. What do you think, Charlie?
I'll go 61.
She's 57.
Ooh, well done, Paul. Yeah, well, very good. For you. Wow. Shame I didn't let you go first.
Yeah, I'd have gone.
Could have been quite volatile.
Joanne sounds to me like a younger name for some reason. That's why I'd have probably gone in my 30s, but you know.
Oh, okay. Well, I did your favour. So what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
So why did you say 61 then, if it sounds like a younger name?
Because Paul, because
I gave you the marker.
Paul knew
who it was.
She was. Yeah.
All right, it's 4-1, so Paul in the lead.
Okay, I could have done some real S-housery there and
next
said,
week.
Oh, I don't know
next
who she
week.
Is. I'll just wildly guess. I could have stiffed her. I'm not going to do that on your first day, Charlie.
Okay.
I'm not that.
That's
Maxwell done
let's
that.
See
we'll
how it goes.
See. We'll see.
What's the score again, Jeff? 4-1.
4-1.
4-1, okay.
Okay, he's the great English cricketer, still playing, actually, John Embury. John Embury. And John's now a hair colourist, actually.
Oh, is he?
And, yes, he came over, gave my wife a full set of highlights. People couldn't believe it. All the neighbours came over to watch the dying embers.
Oh! Nice. There was that film a few years ago called Embers, wasn't there? With Winona Ryder, and we thought, that's odd casting, isn't it? Because I never saw Winona Ryder playing the part of John Embury.
Well, she's a good spin bowler.
Who would have been part of that middle set? Who would have played the other Middlesex players? Anyway, so what's...
Me, is it?
What's the... Yeah, go on, Embers.
58.
Okay, I'd say more... 64.
69.
Wow, is he really? Wow.
Still playing.
Incredible. Still playing. Is he, Andy?
Well, he's still playing club cricket. I played with him about 2 or 3 years ago. He's a really good player still.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Okay, so what's that down to the scores, Jay?
Paul on 6, Charlie on 15.
Okay, well, it's early days.
Still tight. Still early tight. Days, that's all right,
Here we go.
Okay, she's just been picked to play Princess Diana in The Crown. It's the actress Elizabeth Debicki. Elizabeth Debicki. And I invited her and her family over for an evening of medieval fun, which included our favourite, the ducking stall. I really enjoyed dunking Debickies.
You knew it was coming, but there's nothing you
all knew where we were.
I'm not going to be able to beat that with any tonight.
No, you can't. There's nowhere to go with Debicki, is there?
That's all you've got.
What is she? 28.
All actresses are about that, aren't they? Yeah, yeah. 26.
31.
Wow.
She's wearing well.
I'm off.
Yeah.
Well, Paul is extending his lead. Paul is on 9, and Charlie's on 20.
Max,
you know, it's like Max has come back, isn't it?
Sorry,
if you're listening.
It's very early days. What about Les Dennis to play Steve McLaren's been suggested? Or Sean Bean? That's what Samuel
Bean would be good. Yeah.
Sean Bean as Les. Samuel, thank you for that. So we've got Les Dennis and Sean Bean so far, but the Steve McLaren story. Okay, who's next? It's Charlie. Go first.
Yes, it's the fine musician from The Strokes, Julian Casablancas. Julian Casablancas.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe it when he walked into our local, of all the bars in all the world, etc. And he was with former Man City assistant manager. I couldn't stop staring at. He's looking at you, kid, I said to him.
Oh, OK, that's good. That's what you might... That's nice. A bit of music.
Thank you.
Nicely cheered, Andy.
I thought you
Andy.
Might have gone down the Drawn a Blankus route. I thought you might have. Yeah, I was doing art classes.
Or
and even life
Paloma Blankus.
You could have done an elaborate Una Paloma Blankus.
I'm going to go... Well, he's a rock star sort of 10, 12 years ago, wasn't he? They're always in their early 20s. I'm going to go 33.
OK, I'll go a bit older than that. 45.
Oh.
43.
Oh, what's that done to the scores? What's that done to the scores?
Well, there's a real gap now. It's Paul 11, Charlie 30.
All the early promise.
Later on, as regular listeners will know, it gets quite volatile when you start getting people that could be anything between 30 and 102. So this is nothing, Charlie.
I got that really wrong on that one.
I've seen people come back from...
I was confident then as well.
People have come back from worse than this. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Okay, our final birthday before half time. It's the writer, Dame Antonia Byatt. Dame Antonia Byatt. And when I worked in publishing, we tried to poach her for our publishing house. Sadly, she didn't have a Byatt clause.
Hey, good. 70.
All topical stuff.
It's lovely.
Another Byatt of the cherry.
Oh, that's and I've gone along down those, that route.
With Trevor Cherry.
With Trevor, yeah.
I'd have gone with that.
Well, you'll get a memo now, Charlie.
That's we'll much get a memo. Better.
Andy doesn't like it if you do better gigs.
No, I don't mind. That is better than mine.
70. 78, I'm going to go with.
She's old, isn't she? Yeah, dame, she's a dame. 83.
Oh, good. She's 85.
Oh, so. Get it.
Well,
come
there we
back.
Are. We're going to half time with
a hit back.
A little chink of light for Charlie Baker. What's the half time scores, Jeff?
Well, it's Paul 18, Charlie 32, but there might be a slight steward's inquiry on Joanne Whalley, who the newspaper said was 57, but Wikipedia says he's 60. But I'll look into that.
OK, well, that's great. It's great. The stewards
are getting
involved.
Are you going to ring her up?
You're going to find some other sources, aren't you?
IMDb says she's 60. That's from Steve Burnett.
OK, Steve, thank you.
I can only go by what's in the paper.
Fair enough. Well, look, should we go with...
There's lots of different ages.
Does it benefit me if she's 60? I can't remember.
It will do, yeah.
Can we go with 60, please?
Yeah, there's a few different ages. There's a bit of a Whalley range of ages. So I'll look into that in the break.
Can someone find out where Whalley is as well, please? That would be good. Whalley?
have you actually given us the half-time scores yet, Jeff, as they stand?
I have, yeah. 32-18.
Has anyone seen her? Where's Whalley? Can anyone tell us?
32-8.
That may well change.
Okay, it could well change. Okay, well, thank you very much, Andy and Jeff, for now. We'll be back for the second half.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Breaking news on the birthday spread front. We return to our score and adjudicator, Jeff Peters. Jeff, you have an update for us.
Yeah, Joanne Whalley does appear to be 60, so the newspaper got it wrong. They were very kind to her, knocking 3 years off her age. So instead of 1832, it's now Paul 21, Charlie 29 at the halfway point.
Wow, and you did well, too, because I know you called Joanne's sister Polly, because she normally spends most of this part of the day drawing, doesn't she, Charlie? Yes, I love it when Polly Whalley doodles all the day.
What?
I'm in the Andy Jacobs. I'm just an Andy Jacobs
writing
tribute.
Pastiche joke.
We love it when you go, yes, I love it when, Andy. That's our
Cornish pastiche.
Cornish pastiche. Yeah. Okay, go on then.
I've often thought it should be quite fun if you did the gags and I did the guessing 1 week, but they'd be better.
Well, for charity. 1 week for charity.
Yeah.
We do it for that. That'd be nice.
Swap roles.
Swap roles. We do that on a... Anyway, so let's crack on, Pelle.
Okay, it's the violinist Maxime Vengerov. Maxime Vengerov. And he was performing a concert at the Emirates when he was forced to leave by the audience holding up banners saying, Wenger out. There you go. Careful what you wish for, I say.
Okay, not Vengerov. Okay, no.
Well, Vengerov.
Yeah, okay, Vengerov.
I thought there was going to be a fire and it was going to be arson. I thought that was going to be the...
Right. These are getting worse. They've got to stop. and I include mine in that.
And I include mine as well.
Yeah, okay.
Maxime or Maxine?
Maxime. Okay, I kick this off. Sure. Me to go first. Who knows? Maxime Vengerov.
Could be anything, can it?
60... Mm. No, you know, that's a ridiculous thing to say. 78, I'm going to go 78. What do you think, Charlie?
This could be the moment. It's so big, isn't it? I don't know who he is.
Could be 26, could be a child prodigy.
I don't know who he is.
Okay, nor do I.
Nor do you, yeah. So I'm going to go for it. I'm going to say 55.
Ooh, he's 47.
I told you. What's happened there?
That's made it very, very interesting because Paul is 31 out on his guess. That's very rare for you, Paul.
Ooh, yeah.
Charlie is 8 out. So Charlie on 37, Paul 52, wow. 15 in it.
What a game. Ooh. Okay, Charlie goes first. Let's see what happens now then.
Okay, Charlie, here she is, the actress from I Dream of Jeannie. You may have seen it. Barbara Eden.
Mm.
Barbara Eden. I used to cut her lawn, actually. It was great working in the Garden of Eden.
No,
you had to watch the power lines buried just below the surface. It was real Eden Hazard.
Oh, lovely. Two for one. Football-based as well.
2-1. Value again.
Right, well, I'm tempted. I'm going to say she is 78.
85.
She's 90, old Barbara Eden. She looks great, though. She looks the same for some reason.
Is she okay?
I'm impressed it's an old photo.
Maybe it's an old friend. It's not a recent one. So what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Well, Paul, you are 5 out. Mm. Charlie is 12 out. So it's now 57, Paul, 49, Charlie. There is a difference of 8.
Watch it. I'm first this time, then.
Okay, a happy birthday to Queen Noor of Jordan. I think a lot higher of her now. She's gone into the soup manufacturing business. it's fair to say Norse stock has risen.
Oh, yeah. Queen Nora of Jordan.
He's back.
A glamorous lady, if I remember rightly, pictures of her.
But I don't know, no.
I'm just thinking, I've got the right one. 76, yeah. What do you think, Charlie?
Sorry, I went quiet. It's radio, isn't it?
Come on, you should be doing what Max does and read out tweets to kind of fill the time and increase the tension.
80. She's 70.
Ooh, no. Okay, well, it's not much in that. It's still pretty tight. Yeah.
It is. Paul, 63. Charlie, 59. Four in it, two to go.
Two to go.
Okay.
So, give us those scores again, Jeff. I got sidetracked.
63-59.
63-59. What a game. Right, so, Charlie, you'll go... Okay. As you're winning, you'll go first for this last...
No, hang on. No, we've got two to go.
Oh, two to go?
Yeah.
Two to go, yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It's the actress. She was in Journey to the Centre of the Earth, to give you a bit of a clue. Arlene Dahl. And I took her on at Celebrity Greco-Roman Wrestling and managed to turn her the full 180 degrees. I knew I'd won after I'd rolled Dahl.
Very good.
That's good.
I like that.
Just tell us what she did. What was her?
She was an actress. She was in Journey to the Centre of the Earth.
Okay, right, yeah. Okay.
I'm going to say she's 79.
I'm going to say she's 90.
She's 96.
Paul, the master.
So what's that done to the scores? I might have just stymied myself because I go first on the next one, that means. So what's the scores, Jeff?
So what did you say, Paul?
I said 90. She's
90. Yeah. Okay, so you are six out. That takes you to 69.
Yes.
Charlie's 17 out on that one. So he's on 76. So you are in the lead. You have a seven-point advantage, Paul.
Okay, I'll go... You go first. Yeah, here we go then. Last one.
The last one, the environmentalist and former diplomat, Sir Crispin Tickle. And he's gone into business actually, offering fun nights for singles with the Palace left back Jeff Schlupp. Yeah. He doesn't like a bit of Schlupp and Tickle.
You didn't need to finish it off. We were with you all the way.
Very long arms.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a sister called Tess.
Yeah. No, you've gone dumping. The first dumping in the birthday squad. Grow up,
Jeff. Oh, Jeff, you've dragged it into the gutter. Yeah.
Come on.
How good would it be, though, if she did?
It's in the sports bar.
Philbert the Fox has dirtied up the game. He's doing his blue act. Yeah. Anyway, yes.
I do a very good blue version.
Crispin, you do, I've heard. Crispin Tickle.
It's a Crispin Tickle.
Crispin Tickle.
Crispin Dry.
And 79. What do you think, Charlie? Well, you said it was a seven difference.
Yeah, 79.
Yeah,
where are you going? So I'm going to go up. I'm going to go 88.
Good that you did. He's 91.
Oh! He's laid down a marker.
Get in.
Good play.
There. Bang!
So Charlie Baker takes the first of the new look birthday spread.
It really
That's
is incredible.
Now he's in the seat.
So Paul was 12 out on that. Charlie was 3 out. So 81 Paul, 79 Charlie.
Wow.
So Charlie 1-0 up in his permanent spell, but 2-1 up overall. And that's one win in five for you, Paul. What's happened?
Oh, we know Max has been listening to the H&J Daily podcast at night in Australia. He's inflicted it while he's isolating him and Mrs. Rushton are in quarantine. Oh, so he inflicts it on her and he says, she hasn't told me to turn it off yet. But he'll be lobbing his bat round the dressing room.
Furious.
He will not be happy.
It is controversial. I blame Joanne Whalley.
I mean, she proved nearly
they were
the difference.
They were the three points.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, that's it. We'll do it all again next week. Thank you, Andy. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, lovely. Thanks
very
much.
Hopefully you'll be in a good mood over the cricket. And thank you, Jeff. You may get a one-week ban, you dirty boy. But it wasn't
even that bad. Come on,
Jeff.
The kids are listening. It's the school
drag
room.
It
down. The Jeff Schlupp one was... I'll speak to you next week. Cheers,
thank
guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
There we are. That's the birthday spread.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Andy will be with me tomorrow. Charlie, you're back this weekend. Max this is weekend. Having a break. He's not joining yet from Australia, is he?
He's going to join us on the phone from Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, but Saturday, Sunday and Monday with Johnny Owen.
Lovely. Okay, I'm back tomorrow. But hope you can join us. If not, podcast available around 4:30.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.